The happiest people don't always have the best of everything. What they do is make the best of everything they have. And that is the thought for today. Hello, 7 Good Minutes listeners. Clyde Lee Dennis here with a quick note about a podcast that I recently discovered that I'm extremely excited to tell you about. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's an Apple Top 50 podcast and was recently voted among one of Apple's best. Episode 365 is one of my favorites. It's a conversation Jordan had with Benjamin Hardy, in which they talked about and gave some great tips on how to break free from self-limiting beliefs. Find the Jordan Harbinger Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just like 7 Good Minutes, it's a podcast I really enjoy a lot, and I think you will too. You can find it by searching The Jordan Harbinger Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Or if you prefer, just go to jordanharbinger.com/subscribe. And now, on with today's episode of 7 Good Minutes. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's audio, we learn about the key to happiness, even in a world filled with distractions. Enjoy.
What can ancient Greek philosophers tell us about how to live our lives today? It's hard to imagine that anyone living before the 20th century could possibly relate to our modern times. Like, what did your morning look like today? Maybe you're among the 80% of Americans that woke up to the sounds of a city stirring into busyness. You probably pulled your phone into bed to check email, social media, or the news. Maybe you grabbed a banana or toaster strudel as you ran out the door with your belongings. If you're the average American, you spend about 17 minutes driving through traffic before arriving at your job, where you powered up your computer and proceeded to click, type, and scroll through most of your day, on pace to spend 42% of your life looking at a screen. We're often in a constant state of distraction, moving from one thing to the next, one reward to another, rarely ever finding the time to simply be still.
And yet, when you look historically, it's like this has always been a problem. I mean, I have a quote in the intro from Blaise Pascal. He's like, all of man's problems stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's true. When did he say that? Like last year? And it's like, no, 1500.
That's Ryan Holiday, author of the best-selling books Ego is the Enemy and The Obstacle is the Way. His new book is called Stillness is the Key.
The interesting thing about stillness is like, it's not something you buy, right? Like it's not something you go get even. I think it's something that emerges as you strip other things away.
Most of his books pull inspiration from the ancient philosophy of Stoicism. Its teachings provide practical tools that are just as useful today as they were when they were first written on parchment. One of the tools, stillness. Ryan presents examples throughout ancient and modern times where stillness became the greatest source of happiness and breakthrough, and equally how the lack of it can lead to turmoil and distress. From Napoleon to Kennedy to master archers and out-of-the-box composers, Ryan provides countless examples of how history's greatest figures have used stillness to better their work and lives. In this conversation, Ryan and I talk about the paradox of chasing happiness, the importance of creating routines, and how to become more mindful with technology.
Why do you think that Stoicism is such a powerful philosophy to live a good life?
What could it possibly be about a philosophy that's invented in ancient Greece, makes its way to ancient Rome, and then over 2,000 years, it's used by people in the Renaissance. It's George Washington's favorite philosophy in the American Revolution. It's used by prisoners of war in Vietnam. It's used by football players recovering from injury. Like, how could something work for so many diverse situations and people? I just find that endlessly fascinating. And I think the answer is that Stoicism isn't some explanation of the universe. It's not this like complicated philosophical theory or abstraction. It's just like really practical life advice. And I mean, one of the Stoic philosophers, his name is Epictetus, and he says like the main job for a philosopher, the first job, is to just separate things into the two buckets, like the ones that you control and the ones that you don't control. He says what's up to us and what's not up to us. And so you could see how whether you're a slave or whether you're leading an army or whether you're an entrepreneur, just going like, hey, this thing that I'm getting upset about, this thing that I'm worried about, this thing that I'm putting time and energy into, ultimately, is it up to me? And so much of the stuff that we spend a lot of time and energy doing is not up to us. Like, think about the sort of the rat race or the keeping up with the Joneses that motivates so much of the materialism that we do. It's like, you can buy a Lamborghini, but you can't make it impress people. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can accumulate a lot of money and a lot of stuff, but you can't make people respect you. You can't make your parents proud of you. You can't do anything with regards to what other people do and think. You can only control your own actions and thoughts, right? And so a Stoic would say, like, why are you trying to impress people with this fancy, house that you bought or with the jewelry you wear? Why don't you work instead on, like, not needing to impress people, or work on whatever that part of yourself is that thinks, if I impress other people, then I'm worthwhile. And you know what I mean? And so it's not about turning inward so much as it's about saying, you know, where does the delineation between the things that I have influence over and the things that I don't, where is that? And then let me just focus all my energy there and not waste time, energy, money on doing things that ultimately other people control and are likely to disappoint you on or hurt you on or not recognize.
In a lot of ways, it forces us to ask those questions. Why? And I think your new book is about stillness. And this is something that we get much and much less of these days.
Of course.
So many of us go to bed looking at our phones, wake up looking at our phones, constantly distracted, constantly having these interruptions throughout our days and not having this moment of stillness. Why do you think stillness is so important to people today?
What's interesting, it's like, not only do we not have moments of stillness, we don't even have like seconds of stillness, right? And yet the stillness we do experience, and it's funny, like, I don't think we need to define stillness because I think everyone knows what it is. It's just one of those words, you're like, yes. Not only do you know it, but you remember in your life incredibly powerful experiences for which that's the only way you could describe them.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.